Governor Ned Lamont has announced yesterday, not opening the states on the state of Connecticut on May 20th, which is still just, just shy of a few days of being a month away. A lot can happen between now and then. Now, granted, a lot can happen in either direction. But I'm going to tell you something. You think the coronavirus itself is bad? The cure, maybe even worse. All right, we our next guest. Oh, by the way, this is a guy, he really needs no introduction, but there is a letter that came from the banking commissioner concerning stimulus checks. Now, I know some of you, if you've got direct deposit, you've already received it, a week ago or whatnot. There's some people, though, who do not have direct deposit, who are waiting for the actual physical check. And this letter read in part, quote, "The guidance urges Connecticut state chartered banks and credit unions to not use a stimulus payment to satisfy an overdraft that existed prior to a stimulus payment." I lost my spot here. Let me just. All right. So the guidance urges Connecticut state chartered banks and credit unions to not use a stimulus payment to satisfy an overdraft that existed prior to a stimulus payment being deposited to the account, or to exercise rights of offset against the account with respect to other debts. The guidance covers a period of 30 days from the date the stimulus payment is deposited to the account. And this is the part you got to pay attention to. And financial institutions are strongly encouraged to document any offset with the express agreement of the customer or member. If a financial institution's systems automatically apply a stimulus payment to an account overdraft, the financial institution is urged to reverse the application of the stimulus payment as promptly as possible. Now, there's some people who are scratching their heads going, well, what the heck does that mean? And that's why we have our next guest on, certainly one of our favorites here on Talk of Connecticut. He is a former colleague of mine, former seatmate of mine in the House of Representatives chamber. He is currently the ranking member of the Banks and Banking Commission, of the Banking Committee. State Representative Tom Delnicki. Hey, Tom, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, Gary, and good morning, Connecticut.
Yes. Here we go. I've got so much news all around me. I think I've got one eye reading one thing, another eye reading something else. News that's just breaking and somebody holding up signs to me and so much going on, as I would imagine your life, there's so much going on.
Oh, yeah, you've got to have eyes in the back of your head.
You really do. And you know, number one, you hear with you're not going back into the regular session this year, and then you're hearing there's going to be a special session. There has to be a special session because you've got to tweak the budget, you know. And then you hear your leader's not going to be running for reelection. And then you've got all these, you're the ranking member of the banking committee, so you've got all of these stimulus check inquiries that I'm sure you're hearing from not only your constituents, but constituents statewide because you're the ranking member. And then there's the SBA loans on the state level where they run out of money, you know, for small businesses of less than 500 employees. You've got to be one of the busiest people right now.
You know,
you're not even in session.
we're all living in interesting times. You know that old curse.
Yes, very true. And no more true than right now. So I just read that quote. From the banking commissioner.
Yeah, George Perez. And I've got to tell you, I've got two favorite commissioners. Commissioner Perez, banking commissioner, is doing a great job. And Commissioner Mayes, who's the insurance commissioner, again, is doing a great job. Basically, what Commissioner Perez from the banking department is saying is, look, these people need this money to continue to hold their lives together. So if you've got an overdraft, don't touch their money. They need to buy groceries. They need day-to-day money because a number of them are waiting for unemployment checks. And that's another issue I'm hearing from constituents about, are waiting for unemployment checks. And if the bank takes that money to cover an overdraft, then basically you're taking a lifeline away from an individual, a family that needs that lifeline at this point in time. And I've got to tell you, I applaud Commissioner Perez for taking that position, jumping out in front of it and saying, hey, look, guys, that money needs to go to the people. Now, 30 days later, hey, that's another story. Although, again, I'm concerned with you about the fact that we're remaining closed as long as we are. Because, you know, obviously we want to come back, we want to be safe, but the other side of the coin is you have a situation where I've already heard from a couple of businesses that, quite frankly, aren't coming back because they couldn't get the PPP money because their bank had an error, they didn't get in line in time, and then, of course, we had an extra week delay on trying to replenish funds so that we could save some of these businesses.
Yeah, you know, what do people do? If you're a small business owner, let's start with small business owners here in Connecticut. And they could not get round one of the SBA stimulus. It was, $300 million or $250 million? Well, first of all, originally it was $25 million, and then a week later it went up to $50.
Yeah, the $25 and $50 was a state program from DECD. And then, of course, the PPP money went so quickly. There's the EIDL loan advance. And I want to give everybody a website that is a small business person to go to. And that would be www.sba.gov. And you can find a lot of this information that I'm going to talk about on there. And you can learn about it, and you can apply for it. The other thing that you want to do is, with the president on the verge of signing some more funding for the Paycheck Protection Program, is get a hold of your financial institution, especially if you had put an application in with that institution, and tell them, hey, there's more money coming. I want this application processed, you know, as quickly as possible, once the money's available. And we all know they had hiccups when they started the program back, a couple of weeks ago. But now those hiccups, they should be all taken care of. And these banks should be on top of their game.
You hope.
you hope. But again, I strongly urge any small business person that didn't get that funding, you've got to call your financial institution, call your banker, the person that you dealt with locally, the bank down the street, and tell them that you need to be in the queue. There can't be any errors here. The system should be running properly, and that they need to get that application in as quickly as possible.
What's delaying it? What's causing the delay?
Well, they had the first time around.
They just ran out of money?
The first time around, they had glitches with the system. The system that was set up basically had some problems. The large banks, there were a couple of banks that literally grabbed 10% of the entire pot of money and promoted those loans out there. This time around, my understanding is there's some protections for the smaller banking institutions so that if you're dealing with one of the small guys, you'll have a better chance of getting the money. The other thing I have to applaud is the fact that some of these big companies and some of these colleges and universities with huge multi-billion dollar endowments got called out and basically were shamed into turning the money back and not taking it, and rightfully so. One of these universities, I think, had a $40 billion endowment.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, think about it.
And they applied for these?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, and there wasn't a qualifier there. And, you know, quite honestly, they shouldn't have. They realized the error of their way. They refused the money now, basically because they were called out. And that's that's the way it should be, because these small folks, you know, the local business that you go to buy some hammer or nails, the local restaurant you go to, the business person down the street from you, those are the guys and gals, the men and women that I worry about. And I worry about them every day. And I work with the Chamber of Commerce to provide whatever information I can and whatever help I can, because these are the folks that are creating the jobs. These are the folks that are paying the taxes to the town, collecting the sales tax for the state. And these are the folks that we've got to make sure come out of this catastrophe that we're living through and can put their businesses back in operation, and that we go to them and we support them.
Yeah, you know, people are just so disenchanted with processes and the red tape and the waiting time.
Oh, yeah.
There are small business owners, Tom, that just don't have the time to wait. And they've already been waiting for close to already a month, you know. Let's talk about this, these stimulus checks for people who do not have a direct deposit. Are you hearing when these checks will be? I understand they're already issued. What's taking so long in getting them delivered?
Okay, let me start with another website that's key.
Mm-hmm.
www.irs.gov. And right off the bat, I want to warn people, if you get an email from somebody or a phone call from somebody that says, hey, we can expedite your payment.
Yeah, don't
all
do
we
that.
Need some information. Hmm. So under no circumstance should you give them any information.
That's good advice, yeah.
Number one, IRS does not make calls and they don't send emails. They do everything by letter. And within 15 days, if you've received an electronic deposit into your bank account, you're supposed to get within 15 days a letter from the IRS telling you that you've received the money. And if you go on the IRS website, there's actually a number of areas that you can click on that will tell you, you know, what should I use the non-filer payment tool, you know, how do I use that? And you can click on that.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll tell you how to get into it and how to put your information in if you're a non-filer, because that's a problem. Likewise, if you are a person that did not have a bank account listed with the IRS, or if the bank account for whatever reason was closed and now they couldn't electronically get you that money, the IRS, my understanding is on Monday they began sending checks out. The checks are dated effective today.
Oh.
So I hate to use this cliche, but if you're one of those people, the check's in the mail.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't help myself. But that's truly the case. The other thing I'm hearing is some folks are contacting me and saying that, you know, I didn't receive the full $1,200.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, the thing you've got to remember is there's actually a scale. Now, you get the full $1,200, and I'll just talk an individual. If you earn $75,000 or less, you get the full $1,200.
Sure.
Now, if you earn over that, there's actually a deduction of what you'll receive. So let's say you earned $85,000.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get $500 deducted from that. For every $50 over that number, now let me just check this just to be accurate.
Yeah, please do.
$5 is deducted for every $100 above the $75,000.
Oh.
Just to be clear.
Okay.
So if you receive an electronic transfer or a paper check and it's less than the $1,200, take a look at what your income was that you reported in your tax return for the previous year, because that is the qualifier, and you'll see that ratcheted down depending on how high it is. And just so that everybody understands, based on the way this is set up, if it's $99,000 is your filing status for a single individual, then you're basically not going to receive any money from the IRS on this. And it's 136.5 for a head of household and 198,000 if you're married filing jointly. So just bear that in mind. To receive the full, as I said, 75,000 for individuals, 112.5 for a head of household, and 150,000 for married couples filing a joint return.
And again, going to www.irs.gov will answer, I would imagine, a lot of these individual questions that people have. All right, in our 2 minutes that's remaining, let's go back to the loans for the small business owners. There's certain parameters and guidelines that they must adhere to in order for these either low interest loans or no interest loans to transition into a grant, in which case they would not have to pay it back. For example, they need to use the money for payroll. 75% for payroll, and also you need to use it to pay your monthly nut, whether you own the building and it's a mortgage or you're paying a rent to a landlord. Also, you can use it for utilities. What you cannot use it for is advertising, marketing, and also your supply, you know, to pay your vendors, which I find kind of surprising with that last one. How about, though, these small business owners? Can they pay themselves?
You know, that's a good question. If you're on your own payroll,
yeah,
and you are cutting yourself a check, and unfortunately, many small business people don't do that.
That's right. And that was my next thing I was going to tell you. I was a small business owner, and there were some that don't even, let me tell you something. There's small business owners that, you know, a couple times a month, they don't even take a salary. You know, they don't even take a check.
And right now, most small business people aren't taking a check.
Yeah, so but you can only do that for so long, Tom. So what happens?
Well, here's the thing. I would encourage small business people to make sure that they're on their own payroll, because then
this is after the fact now,
protection that will actually help them. You know, they need to do that. They really do. And I understand how much of a challenge that is for people, because it almost goes against the grain of a true small business.
That's right. It does. But is it after the fact that they can't make that change now in the midst of this?
Well, that's one thing.